Hello. Sorry about all this fucking shit audio from my end this episode. My laptop is really stupid and I've recently upgraded it and for some reason it has some weird like audio vocal reduction or isolation thing and I don't know how to change it, but please bear with that. Apologies and I hope you enjoy the episode regardless.
As the great independent director, Mr. Werner Herzog, once said, I despise formal restaurants. I find all of that formality to be very base and vile. I would much rather eat potato chips on the sidewalk.
Hello, and welcome to Potato Chips on the Sidewalk. I'm Barbecue Ben. Joining me today is...
This is... Chicken Twisties Jacoby.
And we got a few episodes of Succession to talk about. We didn't record...
We really took a bad time to take a
week's because I feel like we're going to be... I mean, not to dispel these two episodes, but I think the one I'm most excited to talk about is episode 8, but... Episodes 6 and 7, Living Plus and Tailgate Party, great episodes on their own right, but episode 8 is kind of, it's just one of the most distressing episodes in the entire series. It's just kind of,
And a great way to preempt the climax of the entire series.
It's
kind of
we're in the, as you know, as Doctor Strange said, we're in the end game now.
Yes,
I hate that I said that. Anyway, let's talk about episode 6, Living Plus. This one I found to be a bit of an odd one. For most of
it was probably the most like workplace comedy.
It's just kind of, I guess, the episode showing, like Kendall and Roman running away style. Like it's like the only real one where it's like. This is how they're operating the company and how they would operate the company. And I think it just kind of shows that they're too obsessed with being their dad that they can never be their dad. You know what I mean? Like they're just, they're playing dress up. And, I think it's kind of, genius to show how the thing about this season is just like nobody expected Logan to die in episode 3, so for this to be going on, it's just kind of, it's just tearing the entire premise of the show apart, you know, like who's going to take over. And it's like, well, at this point, I don't think anyone is going to take over at all.
Well, look, everyone has put themselves in a position where they've spun themselves a... They've spun their own web, really. Like, there's no real... Everyone has ammunition against everyone.
Yeah, kind like, of. Everyone's so hostile to one another. Like, you know, like, Roman... firing Jerry out of spite, even though like he did already fire Jerry under Logan's orders earlier in the season, so he's again playing dress up. I mean, like, what would my dad do? I'm firing Jerry again.
Well, he goes on a firing spree between the studio head and then Jerry, which then in the next episode
tries to take back,
says, "Oh, I was just a joke,"
and then she's just like. She knows it's just, you can't take it back, and she's not going down with the ship that Kendall and Roman are you know, steering directly into the iceberg. Linear Plus is a bit of a odd episode. Like, I hate to skip through these so quickly, but I got a lot to say about episode 8. Is there anything in this you really want to get out of episode 6 before we move on?
I think, how do I say this? It's like, I think this episode showed that Kendall had the ability to be a good CEO.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much, like, the whole crux, the episode is kind of genius because it kind of spends the entire time preparing you for a train wreck. And then Kendall actually kind of follows through.
Yeah.
I do have to preemptively, or not preemptively, I do have to take back what I said about when Roman lost his shit at Mattson, that he gained power.
No.
Because it obviously showed he's just completely just lost it. Like, And sadly, kind of, you know, throws Kendall under the bus, but, like, how do I say it? It's like kind of, he really does allow Kendall to take the face of the company, and that could be for better for him or for worse.
It's also like, at this point in the season, it just kind of shows if that the three siblings all did work together, they could work very well, but they're just so obsessed with their own, like them getting on top of each other. But like, you know, like getting like one up on the other, they just can't work together, and it's their downfall, you know, like they can't do it, and they never will be able to, 100%. Like, obviously, you know, where episode 8 goes, but yeah. Also, I do have to, shout out to a great Frank scene in the episode. Disappointing lack of, Carl. Yep. No, is it Carl? No, it was a great Carl scene. I keep doing that. Great Carl scene. Carlson, yes. Sorry, Carl. Frank and Carl, but you two are an item to me. You know, like, when Carl's, you know, when he says funny things, he says funny things, and, shout out to the best characters on the show. Anyway, I think we should, move forward to Tailgate Party, the episode about the, Election Eve party. I don't know why they call it a tailgate party. Isn't that like a American football thing? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
maybe.
This I found to be very, very, like, just scathing, and like everybody's talking about how episode 8, you know, took away like what we thought of these characters, but all the infighting. What do you mean, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't take away from
kind of pulls the rug.
No, I know. Well, I know what you mean, but I'm just talking about the people
about. Episode 7 is just kind of like, it's shining through that all these people just cannot for, like, any second just think of anyone but themselves. And the big scene in this episode of, like, Tom's fight with Shiv after, like, they were seemingly, you know, getting back together and happy with each other. It's just everything is just crumbling, and everyone's just, the refusal to work together is going to just completely destroy anything they worked for. And I'm concerned about Cousin Greg because he seems to be getting power in. He's just failing his way into these powerful positions. Like the layoff scene at the beginning of the episode, he starts bragging about it to Mattson. And I think that Greg is going to be Mattson's greatest weapon against everyone moving forward.
Not to say Greg was ever particularly innocent, but he is this sort of those look at how power has corrupted the innocent, sort of rather close to initially, I mean, innocent, as the show gets.
Was he ever innocent? But like he was in that.
I wouldn't say he was innocent, but like,
yeah, I mean, he was working in the theme park wearing that suit.
Yeah, which he vomited in.
I guess he, at that point, he was kind of uncorrupted to a certain degree. But he's just I don't want to call him the most despicable character, but like, he seems to have like the least, I don't know, like,
redeemable.
He doesn't even have a goal.
He's just being horrible for the sake of
terrible company now. For anyone that will ask him to do a terrible thing, like he doesn't even know what side he wants to be on. He's just like somebody who's in power is like, "Hey, Greg, can you do this for me?" He's like, "Okay, I guess I'm on your side now." He's just the worst.
Yeah, I'll have more to say about Greg when you get to the next episode.
Is there anything you want to bring up in episode 7?
And obviously the big climactic thing is the whole Shiv and Tom fight. But also, the past two episodes, they kind of got back together, but very short-lived. It's kind of like, I think that's the show's calm before the storm.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of insane. And yeah, it's kind of a tragedy because, you know, these characters who all they've gotten so close to making themselves and making the whole family, the fractured family, work for once, and they just can't.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's some great,
it is what stuff. It is.
I think we should just get to episode 8. America Decides.
Okay, so straight off the bat, this might be the most horrifying, nauseating hour of television I've ever watched.
Yeah.
No hyperbole, to be honest.
I want to liken it to the, I can't remember if it's the first or second episode of season 3 of Barry, where it's not really like a rug pull, but it's just kind of holding up a mirror to you of like, these are the characters that you've been watching the entire time, and you forgot about it. Like Jesse Armstrong, Bill Hader, they know that you forgot about who you were watching because the shows, you know, like, do such an effective job of, like, you know, portraying those characters, whereas you kind of, like, you get invested in what they're doing, that you forget who they are. And when it comes down to it, you know, they say that the show is not about the Murdochs, but the Murdochs, as they are in this show, like, and in real life, are the most despicable, just power-grabbing, just don't give a fuck about anything but their own interests and have more power than anybody, like any family in the world. They just the worst people.
Well, no, the Murlocs are probably our great main threat to democracy.
In like, it's
yeah,
and the show just kind of like, oh, you sympathize with these people, you like, oh, you enjoy Roman, do you? Well, he's a fucking proud boy incel fuck, like who's just like it.
I'm like to think that Jesse Armstrong, for writing this episode, like he knew Roman was always gonna do this, but I like to think that he saw on Twitter like a lot of the people being like, "Oh, he's just a precious baby, Roman baby, precious sad baby." And I'm like, no, fuck that.
He is the most 4chan fucking little. Like, oh, I just want to strangle him, you know? Like,
That's the thing. This is the character we've been watching this entire time.
It's funny because the first episode of the show, he is the most despicable character, and you forget it.
Yeah, the baseball scene
is like, it's the baseball. Is unbelievable.
It's sickening.
Just like the most evil thing ever written into a script. And then you spend 3 more seasons being like, oh yeah, I like Roman. He says funny stuff, you know, like he's got a little sassy boy.
He's a little Nazi.
He liked the fascists last season, but you know, he's got these little funny one-liners, you know, maybe he doesn't actually believe it. And then he destroys America. And it's just like, it's not a rug pull. It's just it's holding a mirror up to everything that we've been watching.
This is who we've been watching the entire time.
I think, particularly with Kendall, is, you know, like, there's the whole funny thing from season 3 where they show one of his tweets where it says, like, we must destroy the system of oppression that silences women, like something along those lines, where he's got this like messiah complex where I think he genuinely thinks he's on the right side of like
100% 100% does
progressive in those ways but at the end of the day, all it took was for him to ignore the person that he's going to be helping is essentially American Hitler. What? Was for his sister to lie to him. It took, like, that's all it took for him to just throw that side of him that he thought was true. He probably still thinks is true, but it was just like, fuck it, the entire time it's all about his own interests. From the first episode, he just wants to be the head of Waystar, and that's the only thing that matters to him, and he helped Roman destroy America to do that. Like, Kendall as a character is so funny to me because he's still the only one I want to root for, but at the same time it's just like, the guy just, he just has no introspection whatsoever. I want to also shout out to the only decent character in this entire show is Darwin, played by Adam Godley from Breaking Bad, where he's just trying to do his job and he's surrounded by the Roys telling him to just abandon everything he believes in, and then they put wasabi and lemon LaCroix in his eyes, and it's just, I think it's such a funny way to, for him to just like, I don't even know what to say other than it's just like, they're just driving home that they're just torturing this poor election analyst. Yeah, like, like, oh, and it's funny that, like, all that stuff comes from, you know, like, Greg just being a fuck-up as well. Like, he's surrounded by the Roys, and Greg Hirsch is just fucking up even, like, he's like a clumsy little clown in the ranks of these just power-hungry billionaire fucks. I was gonna say earlier, the scene where Kendall just turns on a dime against Shiv when he found out that she just like lied to him about talking to Nate. In the score, were you getting like hints of The Godfather, like the ending of The Godfather? Yeah, but I was like in the music as well, but like the way he's just like staring at her, I was just like, yeah, like it was just, yeah, I just think for like for such a direct reference of Jesse Armstrong being like, I'm making the modern Godfather, right? You're like,
Godfather.
For someone to be so confident in to do so, like make that assertion about the work that they're making, and to nail it, is such a statement.
Yeah. Nah, it's an astonishing episode. Yeah. It's horrifying. It is nauseating. It's still very funny.
I 100%. Yeah. Going back. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is like all these things that these characters are doing. Like he used coke, so like that really affected his reaction to Shiv telling him that she's pregnant. Like if he had a more clear head, would he had reacted to that in a like a more sane way?
100%. But
the way he reacted was kind of sane, like, you know, like is this strategy, like are you telling this to me to like fuck with me? Like Tom is again a terrible person, just like the rest of them. But he is so battered by Shiv. And I'm not like a Shiv hater or like a Tom apologist or, you know, like at this point.
Shiv isn't like notably bad out of all of them.
She is the most I get, from the beginning. Like she just doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that, but yeah.
I think we should, like, you know, get into a bit about, like, what they did to destroy America. So it all comes down to there was, like, a firebombing at a voting center in Wisconsin. And
Blue state.
And at that point, with the votes that had been lost in that firebombing, Mencken, the Republican candidate, was ahead at the time before those mail-in votes were counted. Again, you know, like, everything you need to know about, like, the last two American elections feed into all this. But with those votes missing, it was looking like Mencken was going to win Wisconsin before those were counted. But it is very likely that a lot of those votes were going to shift the vote blue. And they call Wisconsin to be won by Mencken prematurely before they can figure out what those votes are going to be. But they're talking about, like, they want to say that it's cold, but with, like, an asterisk, when they announce it on ATN, and whether or not they call it at that point is going to sow doubt in a lot of the American public's perception of if those votes are recovered and they do end up swinging blue and Jimenez wins, ATN has caused, is probably going to cause like a bit of a civil war. Yeah. Considering, you know, like we had, I don't want to talk too much about like what we've seen in trailers, but there's like images of like a riot and Roman out on the street.
Roman.
During the riot. Yeah. I thought that was going to be during this episode.
And considering the next episode is
going to be the finale.
Megan's funeral. Yeah, so I have no fucking clue what's going to happen, yeah. And I'm terrified. Yeah. I don't think he's going to... I take back my comment that he's going to die from previous episodes. Yeah. I don't believe that, but no one needs to... None of the characters need to die for it to be any less terrifying.
Yeah, something is just going to go terribly, because regardless of whether Mencken is going to end up president in the January of this, whenever this is meant to be set. Because I think they describe this season as like the biggest 10 days in the lives of these characters. So the funeral next episode is going to be the day after the election, and then presumably the finale is going to be 2 days after the election. So regardless of what happens 2 months later when the inauguration is meant to happen, this election is going to cause something just devastating.
Yeah, absolutely devastating. 2 days after. Yeah.
And I just don't know where it goes from here. Watching season one, the joke was, it's going to be Cousin Greg just to come out of nowhere to win it. But I just don't see a realm of that happening. I talked about Pierce taking over at one point. I don't think it's going to be Mattson. And I don't think it's going to be any of the three siblings. I want to talk about the scene with Jess and Greg, where
that was the scene I was going to talk about.
What do you want to say about it?
I'm not sure if you saw my tweet today.
I might not have,
but I said I had a screenshot of that scene and said this is the most haunting moment in all of Succession, the entirety of the show, and I believe that 100%.
Do you want to elaborate on that, David Lynch?
It's, we talk about Greg being the corrupted innocent, but we see this guy, this incompetent guy who just put wasabi into a...
Lemon
into a... possibly being the most defining, the most important piece of history he's ever going to be involved with. And perhaps anyone to relay the information to declare a winner that of a presidency that isn't legitimate.
Yeah.
And you have Bess, who has been a very periphery, infinitely periphery character in the show, herself kind of realizing, Jesus, like, this is like important, and there's almost an unspoken plea,
yeah,
to Greg to, even it might be insignificant in the long term, just to do the right thing and just wait, just not do this for another minute. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
And I think that's kind of the show's thesis in this, in a way that it's just, you have these people not only out of their element, like, people should not have this power for anything in general, like, individual people, but, like they're in Greg's hands, and the fact that they've had their part in destroying the country. Well, and they both kind of realize that.
And it's... And at that point, it's like, what's so genius about the title of this episode is that, you know, like, it's called America Decides, but in that moment, Greg has just been told that, you know, like, Kendall and Roman have decided for America, and he has to go tell the control room that, you know, like, it's been decided, and, you know, like, like, these two fail sons have just decided for America. And he says, like, oh, like, is it going to change anything if I'm not the one to go tell them? Like, you know, like, I'm just, they're going to get angry at me if I don't go do it. So, I'm going to go, like, it's happening, you know? Like, it's this pause of Jess being like, oh, you're going to go do it? Like, it's just... It's such like a moment, we've done it.
This is where we're at. This is where we're at, and I don't think either of them believes it's a good thing, but they also can't do anything. Like, they're complicit through these people who have just made this decision.
I think Jess is far less complicit.
I think she's far less complicit, but I think she'll feel guilt for the rest of her life.
Well, that's the thing, is like, I wonder how they are gonna play, you know, like, we know a riot is coming in some form. But, you know, Roman's like, call it. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Our dad's dead. Nothing matters. So it's like, is Roman sabotaging, like, his own, like, ideology? Or, like, is he self-destructing because he's just... He doesn't care about what happens without his dad around. Like,
he's lost it. Like, so we really don't know. It's a fucking devastating life in all ways, shape, and forms. It's just a devastating episode for in every aspect, and.
So to go back
before we move on to the whole Jess and Greg scene, I don't know why this is the scene that fucked me up more than any of the other ones.
It's a pacing, like, pause for, like, the entire episode is just like, election, like, arsehole, election, arsehole. And then it's just this quiet moment of just being like, fuck, this is what just happened. Of these two people who didn't have a say.
The two people who follow orders more than anyone on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's some potent stuff, Jesse Armstrong. Yeah. Okay. Are we doing the... lost power, gained power. Who do you think lost the most power in this episode?
America.
Yes.
I mean,
democracy.
I honestly don't know, there's a case to be made about Shiv, but I don't. But she also holds. This is rarely enough for an episode where two people just decided to fucking start a civil war, essentially. Like, that this is actual. Obi-Wan has simultaneously completely fucked it up, or has completely, Obi-Wan has something that they've completely fucked up. They also hold so much power in another way. So it's just like, I don't know who lost the most power besides America, but, I don't know, maybe Mattson. It's all out of his hands now.
I'm going to say Shiv did lose the most power as of right now.
Yeah.
But she's going to try to regain that. Like, in this moment, she lost the most power. Because
Yeah, I agree.
Technically part of the business at all.
Yeah.
So, her opposing Kendall and Roman does, you know, like, shut her out in that moment.
100%.
But, yeah, I think she's going to come back with a vengeance, she knows about Kendall's,
manslaughter. Like, manslaughter.
Of the waiter from her wedding.
He knows about Mary's.
See, can you imagine that the show ends with that not coming out about Kendall? Like, we know that the finale is an hour and a half. So, like, we know that there's 2.5 hours left.
It must do. I'm not sure if it's going to be like a definitive, like, Kendall goes to jail thing. But I don't know to what extent it's going to be used. All I know is that just essentially what the show for the next episodes, I presume, is everyone has just been shot down. None of them have died. But now they just have a loaded gun and are just going to go complete free fire. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Who do you think gained the most power?
Comparative to where he was before, Greg. Maybe not gained the most power. Greg used the most power. Like,
well, that's the thing. Is like, I just don't think Greg had any power to actually wield. Like, he was.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He had the information to wield. He had the information. Well,
Greg's the gun, and Kendall, Roman, and Tom were the shooters.
Yeah, but if you're,
you know what I mean?
But when you're a gun that powerful, I don't see Greg doing anything as big or powerful in the big episodes.
With that analogy, I think the gun should be banned, by the way. So, like, yeah, I think it's obviously Mencken who gained the most power.
Of course. What do I say? I was talking about the main cast, but yeah, no, of course, yeah, 100%.
Because like he gained a presidency, or at least like the public perception of a presidency that he
shouldn't have had.
Very, very likely. Again, we can't say for sure either way, but very likely didn't earn.
Yes. Fuck yeah. Yeah, God.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, Carl, Frank, and Jerry. Were they in this episode much. They were just in their own room watching.
Well, I don't think I don't think Jerry was in this episode, but Frank and Carl were, and so was Hugo, and they were just kind of like watching.
Okay.
Who do we
think ends up on top?
But at this point, no one of the main cast, at least. And if any of them do end up on top, they'll still, in a figurative sense, lost. I don't think there's any winning for the main cast of this series anymore. No matter who.
Do we think ATN survives? Like, Waystar as an organization, like, it could be over after what they did. Yeah. It's... So much has happened this season that it's... I wouldn't be able to tell you that we ended up here even after, like, episode 3. You know, like...
Yeah, they destroyed democracy.
Doesn't it feel like Logan died 2 seasons ago?
Exactly. And that's why it's like the scene where Shiv's just like, my father just died. I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, he just did,
but...
Like, literally just and did.
When she was saying that, I had, like, a sense of, like, is she being genuine? Because, like, I didn't feel like it was because of how...
Who knows at this point?
Well, it's been, like, 6 weeks for me. Like, it's been 6 days for her. So it's like... I wonder how this season plays watching in real time, essentially. You know, like, one day at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how that plays. Anyway, yeah, I don't know who's gonna end up on top, but I get a feeling that, it's going to be someone like Carl, Frank, or Jerry.
Yeah. I don't think there's gonna be anyone from the main cast.
It's gonna be Hugo.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
What do you yell at the TV? Like, oh, come on, pull your dick out or something? I was like, what are you doing, Hugo? I'm sorry, like...
Hugo really is the Greg of the elderlies.
He's got the longest, skinniest neck in the world. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's... I think we call it there and just say that we, you know, we're just looking forward, like everyone else, to seeing where the fuck this goes.
So from the next 2 episodes, I think we will be doing individual episodes.
And now that we've said it, we have to hold ourselves to it.
Exactly, listener. The listener will know. Singular.